as I wait, heart of God.
Hello, New Life, and welcome to the Growth Group podcast, where we believe that spiritual growth happens better in circles than it does in rows. My name is David Haken, and I am joined by Jonathan Markham, the pastor of New Life Christian Fellowship here in rainy Pacifica. And we record these podcasts to help you get the most out of your small group discussion each week. This week is something special, or it was something special on Sunday, wasn't it? Celebration Sunday.
Yeah, it's the chance that we take once a year to look back at what God has done. It's so easy to be moving so fast forwards that you don't really take the time to say all of the wonderful things that God has done over the previous year. And, you know, the people of Israel were told repeatedly, remember, look back, remember what God has done. Why? Because it gives you, it bolsters, it builds your faith for what God's going to do. And so this Sunday was to look back at what has happened, to celebrate that, and then to look forward in faith for what he's going to do, for what he's going
right,
to do.
Right, it's kind of like an identity establishing moment.
Right.
It's like, this is who we are as a community, people under God, this is what we've been called to, and let's celebrate that together.
Right, and so it was different. There will be, you know, each of the staff participated, and, you know, I didn't preach a sermon, I just sort of gathered everything together at the end.
So when you did that gathering together, you put forth a vision. You casted a vision for us, which is taken at least in part from Jesus' Great Commission at the end of Matthew, where he calls us, because of the authority given to him, to go out and make disciples of all nations. Can you maybe talk for a minute about your particular vision for that commission for us here in New Life?
Yes, I think it's we need to begin to understand. And it comes from becoming emotionally healthy. That it's
that must happen first.
It's beginning to understand that God wants to breathe emotional health into us for a purpose. It's not just so that we'll feel better, because he has a plan, and we have a part in it, which we say so often. But it's really true that he wants us as emotionally healthy people to then proclaim and decide and make disciples.
Right, he builds us up to send us out.
Right, and so the whole the concept that we recognize that these aren't just jobs I can do if I think about it or I want to, or they're not jobs that being sent out is not something that happens to pastors and missionaries or people. This is something which the body of Christ, that means every single one of us, is called to do and is sent. You know, we're sent in a sense by name. David, you're sent to do what you're going to do. Jonathan, I've been sent to Pacific, the pastor of New Life Christian Fellowship.
Yeah, that's encouraging. So we've talked about being sent out as disciples of Christ. Maybe talk for a second about what it means to be a disciple and to make a disciple. I know that's so crucial to what we talked about on Sunday.
Right. I mean, a disciple is somebody who seeks to follow and learn from Jesus. There's endless every book on disciple defines it differently. But that's basically what it is. Somebody who seeks to, you say, a rabbi would have disciples, and they would and that's the model that Jesus used. The
right.
People came, they followed him, they actually lived with him, they watched what he did, and then they sought to do what he did. So we are sent to follow Jesus for ourselves, but part of following Jesus for ourselves will be helping others to follow Jesus.
Right.
So because that Jesus, we follow Jesus. Jesus had other people following him, and so the process goes on.
Right. In John 3, it talks about John having disciples.
Right.
And John's disciples transitioning and following Jesus when
yes.
Jesus' ministry
rabbis
began.
Rabbis all had disciples. The and actually for the
And even wild men in the wilderness, I suppose, yeah. too.
So, but the interesting thing about it is that the thing that was different about Jesus was that all of the normal rabbi would teach what a rabbi had taught him.
Yep.
And what a rabbi had previously taught him. So it was all passed down, whereas they turn around and they say, Jesus, this is a different rabbi, because he's teaching as one who has authority.
I just flipped to the end of Matthew's Sermon on the Mount, where the people recognize that, wow, he didn't quote a single rabbi. This is crazy.
He's not quoting anybody. Mm-hmm, he's mm-hmm. teaching with authority. And so we teach what Jesus, because that's what the verse says. He says, making disciples, baptizing them, and teaching them everything that I taught. And so that process is not optional. And I believe that we're challenged to ask ourselves, okay, so where am I intentionally learning to follow Jesus? And where am I intentionally passing that on to others?
Mm.
And realizing that that's not simply the job of the pastor in the church. Now, one of the jobs, I believe, of the pastor and the staff of the church is actually helping people to do that.
Right.
And in a sense, although they may be doing it themselves, but one of their principal tasks, having been sent to be staff of a church, is to help the people do that, as opposed to just doing it themselves.
And we have a question, our third question is about that. I love the four-generational vision that Paul casts in 2 Timothy, where he's speaking to his own disciple, you might say, in Timothy, and he says, and what you've heard from me, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also.
Yeah.
So there's Paul, there's Timothy, and then he's entrusting it to other people who are going to teach then. Like that's the vision of of the disciple.
And I think the thing that we have to grasp is that that's for all of us. Every single one of us.
Yeah, not just Timothy's who are pastors of churches in Ephesus. All right, well, let's get into the questions here. First question, called Sent. This is a bit of a wordy one, so you'll have to stick with me. The New Testament signaled a massive shift in the mission of the people of God. God's elect nation, Israel, was commissioned with a come and see ministry, that by their worship and the witness of their covenant obedience, all nations would be drawn to God through them, and for a time it worked. Jesus' death and resurrection sparked a transition from a come and see evangelistic model to a go and tell approach. We have been sent to a needy world. Examine the following sending passages and examine your life in light of this commission. How has God specifically called you to go and tell?
I think this is a really interesting concept, and I think that one of the things that we actually need to recognize is that the people of Israel were sent with a come and see ministry, and I think that we as individuals are sent with a go and tell ministry, but we're also as a community commissioned to go and tell. That there is a reflection, that the church reflects the ministry that he gave to the people of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
The problem has been with the church, that the church has tried to have
a come and see model, right? Like, I'm going to have my little church here. I hope people come to it.
Yeah.
I'm not going out in the world.
And yet Jesus' mm-hmm. ministry, Jesus' yeah. instructions are not, open up a building and hope people come. I love that there was this, Bishop Michael Marshall, who came over to the United States from England. One of his closing messages when he left England was, I hope if I come back that the church will have learnt the difference between going and telling the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically placing buckets in the hope that the fish will jump into them.
Because that's not going to work.
That's an awful lot of what we have to recognize, that Jesus sent us out because he knew that people weren't going to just jump into the church, or most people were not going to.
Right, right. It was this massive transition, like I hinted. But I think I should give you, the listening audience here, just a little more help with the first couple sentences of this question with regard to the come and see nature of Israel's mission. Mm-hmm. So instead of being sent out as evangelistic missionaries to the world, Israel was kind of like a beachhead of God's presence and his glory, and nations were kind of informally invited to witness the glory of God as demonstrated and manifest in the nation Israel. A couple of examples of this, when Solomon, and he's the perfect example of this, at least the first half of his life, when he commissioned consecrated his temple, he has a special prayer in which he asks for God to pay attention to the prayers of his people when made toward that house. And he has a paragraph in there about foreigners. And he says, likewise, when a foreigner, and look how he emphasizes the fact that they're not part of Israel, when a foreigner who is not one of your people, who comes from a far country, for your name's sake, for they will hear of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm, when they come and pray towards this house, hear from heaven, answer their prayer, that all peoples may know your name and fear you. And then later in the chapter he says that all the peoples of the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And then likewise, just in Deuteronomy 4, when it talks about at least part of the purpose of the laws being given to Israel is that all the other nations would see those the wisdom of those laws and be impressed by them and turn to follow the Lord themselves. See, Moses says in Deuteronomy 4, I have taught you the statutes and rules as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, surely this is a great nation. It is wise and an understanding people. For what nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is near to us whenever we call upon him? And what a great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you today?
Yeah, I just opened when you were, I didn't realize that you were going to go to the Deuteronomy passage, because I'm actually looking at Deuteronomy in my, I'm studying Deuteronomy in my own personal devotions at the moment.
It thought, is an amazing book.
Time and time again, it's that they say, you know, what people need to see, what other nation has a God like this?
Right. Yeah, it's completely unique. And there's a lot going on in Deuteronomy, but I think that this model of the come and see model is present in that book. So let's go on to our second question, which focuses on this definition, which we received so powerfully on Sunday. Our special focus for 2019. God is leading our church to focus this year on Jesus' command for his disciples to make more disciples. On Sunday, Jonathan shared with us what he believes should be our driving purpose statement for 2019. Sent and sending others to be disciples and make disciples everywhere we go. Break this statement down, as I did for you just now, break this statement down into each of its component parts and discuss the meaning of each. What does it mean to make disciples in your particular context?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this, again, is an extension to what we've said already, that, you know, if you're somebody who goes to work on a building site, or if you're somebody who goes to work at a school, if you're a teacher at a school, or if you're an accountant, or whatever you do, you're a doctor, a nurse, whatever you do, it's getting the understanding that you are sent to the hospital ward, to the school, to the office building, that God has sent you there. This isn't, you know, this isn't an accident.
Yeah.
And when we understand that we are sent there, and that we were sent there to make disciples. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that we go to church, go to our office this week and open a Bible study. Although it might. But sometimes it means the beginning process of making disciples is making relationships. And when we make relationships, when you make a good relationship with somebody and you begin to trust one another, then you learn about one another's lives. And so people will learn about our lives that we follow Jesus. And
it should be a natural expression of our...
It should be a natural expression.
This is who I am.
And that we begin to look at our churches, our church service on Sunday, and our growth groups or whatever. Every group, when we gather as Christians, part of its purpose should be firing us up and sending us out to be effective
right.
Christians in the world.
Yeah, I think it's wise that you said a part of its purpose, because there's a lot of hard work that we need to do in these groups as well. You know, digging into the soil
of
our souls.
In a sense, that's equipping us. You know, when our hearts are right. You know, we're growing as Christians. We're becoming disciples.
Right.
But part of that purpose is that we would be sent
Absolutely.
Out as disciples.
Yeah, not that every sermon's going to have the application of go share the gospel this week, but it
should have the purpose of equipping.
Right, right.
We should all be looking for those opportunities. And you know, this can be as individual as somebody going to an office building or a school, or as big as maybe we're even being called to plant a church. I just say that.
Yeah. Talk that one away, guys. Holy Spirit,
do
your work.
Yeah. But you know, that's from one extreme to another.
Mm. Well, this next question, question three, focuses on what you alluded to a minute ago about the leadership of a church having a particular role and the body of the church having a particular role as well in the relationship there. So, it's appropriately called leadership. When reflecting on the growth of the church in the book of Acts, it's easy to assume that this numerical growth came largely at the hands of super apostles. 3,000 people were converted after Peter spoke at Pentecost in Acts 2, and that number grew to 5,000 as Peter and the apostles continued their ministry in Jerusalem in chapter 4. But I believe that this focus on the super apostle mindset could be a mistake. How does Ephesians 4 and Acts 8 teach that it was the average man and woman in the pew which was responsible for the church's remarkable growth in that time and today? Would you like to take a look at the... I just underlined, I think, the most pertinent parts.
Yes. I mean, we're going to be, in the series that begins next week, we're going to be looking at the book of Ephesians, particularly with reference to the way in which God equips the church, equips the individual members of the church, as it says in Ephesians 4, to equip the saints for work of ministry. J.D. Greer, in his book, Gaining by Losing, says that when he took a role as a pastor of the church that he pastors, he came out of ministry. I mean, I think it's an he admits that that's an extreme statement, but he said, I stopped being a minister in order that I might equip others to minister.
Yeah, let me explain that. I think it's pretty important. So Ephesians 4 says that Christ gave the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, pastors. He gave those roles to the church in order that they may equip the saints for the work of ministry. So it's the saints who are doing the work of ministry, and it's the pastors and the teachers who are equipping those saints to go do the work.
Right.
So that's
and
why
that,
J.D.
you guys can
say,
you guys out there the saints.
Yes, you are those who are going to do that work. And then following up on that, in Acts 8, there's this passage which speaks about the persecution of the church. In Acts 7, Stephen, the first martyr, was killed, and then that kind of sparked some more persecution, and it says that there arose great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, such that the Christians were scattered throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria. They were scattered, but in verse 4 it says that those who were scattered went about preaching the word.
Yep.
They brought the message with them wherever they went, and I'm convinced that's where the growth of the church came from, not these little Luis Palau, Billy Graham evangelistic campaigns, which are amazing, the real growth came from just everyone talking about their lives as Christians on a day-to-day basis. Final question.
I agree. Final question, yes.
For Pacifica. Wasn't that a fun reveal on Sunday? That's wonderful. For Pacifica. It's God's heart for his people to be busy about the building culture in this world for the glory of his name and the benefit of mankind. How does this calling especially manifest in our church's outreach programs as an expression of our calling to be known by our love? How can we as a church body seek the peace of this city and demonstrate that we are for Pacifica?
Yeah. As you will have heard, the whole basis of this is to recognize that so much of the church's reputation, and justifiably, has been what we're against. We're against this. You go, stop doing this and stop doing that. Whereas God is for people. His desire that people should be saved. That's why he sent Jesus. He's for. And therefore, as a people, we should be for people and be doing everything in our power to help people flourish. And that's why we are sent into our community to behave in such ways that demonstrate the love of Jesus so that people flourish and realize that that's what God is about. He's for Pacifica, he's for each individual, and he's for us.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I mean, our growth group was just talking about this last night, actually, how as parents it could be pretty easy to fall into the trap of just telling your children what not to do, and then all that they receive from you as parents is just this criticism of their life, instead of offering before them this beautiful alternative of what it looks like to live for the glory of God and to know him personally, such that you can know peace in all situations. Like, present that wonder before your children, in addition to the commandments of the Lord. Anyways, thinking about that, as I will be a parent soon myself.
You see, it's interesting.
Pray for me.
One of the parts of the vision of our church is that we should be known in Pacifica.
Right.
And I think this addresses this very directly, that we should be known to be for Pacifica. We should be known to bless Pacifica, to bring the blessing of God, to be people who help Pacifica flourish.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to seeing what 2019 will have in store.
So,
well, God bless you guys, and we will see you next week.
As I wait, heart of God, satisfy and sustain.